Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
B-Pod Studios.
Now,
if you want to get weird sometime together.
So Lack and Bertrand.
Back then, you knew not to touch it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend.
What's annoying is you kids have the video games, right? The Xbox, PlayStation, all that. You got the Toy Story game at all?
Nope.
No.
Oh, God. You leave this thing in and they don't turn it off. This thing just continually plays over and over and over. And I'm like, where do I hear that coming from? Shut the console off. It's pretty cool, though. I'm like, wow. You feel like you're in the movie.
Really?
Yeah, I would not.
Is it a virtual reality game?
Strap on a headset.
You don't need the virtual stuff. It's really cool for kids.
Zoe's got that 110-inch TV.
The phenomenal graphics.
It just immerses you in what you're looking at on the screen, T-Bone.
Yep. Throw back a couple giblets and you're good to go.
It's got like that wall of TVs. Peggy in Tewksbury has something for Zoe today. Peggy?
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, Peggy.
Hi there.
Hey, hi there.
I got a question that I've been wondering every time I see you guys on the fifth quarter.
Yeah.
Hey, Zoe, have you and Fourier ever gotten out on the field and just run a couple of routes just for the heck of it? I'd love to see that.
That's a good question.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up, Peggy, because there was a very interesting segment that we used to do on All Access that Forey and I did together where we would try and teach you a certain element of the game. And we had a lot of fun doing that. And for whatever reason, that went away, and we don't do that on All Access anymore.
Hey,
but
put it back. Put it back. Put it back.
You know what? That's right. We should title that Put It Back.
Absolutely.
But I have thought of taking guys that I work with like Hardy and throw tape batteries together that they can't see coming. Yep. And those are kind of fun to do.
I would love to see that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, oh, my God. We should do that again.
Take some film so we could all see it, you know. Don't hide it.
Are you watching on a simulcast right now?
No, I'm just on the phone right now.
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. Well, we're going to do that one day.
Thanks,
we're going to put a helmet on Hardy and have him run around.
No, I have a better idea. Why don't you get out there with your friend Fourier there, and you can throw a couple of passes as long as you have Ted Johnson waiting back there to light the two of you up,
yeah.
Maybe on the same play.
Yeah, let's get Captain Wacko out there. Shouldn't say anything about him.
Because in terms of former players out there on the field, let's get the one who looks like he could most readily just step back on the field today and do some real damage. That'd
people.
Be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jim, got that clip, please?
She's been gnawing at her since the last fifth quarter ad, fifth quarter aired 2 months ago.
Been dying to get some footage of you and Fourier playing a little football together.
Bring it back. I've been trying to get through for 2 months. You ever get out there and, you know, paint each other up?
Run a couple look-ins, just stick it right there in his chest. Let's go shirts and skins.
We do have that footage of Zoe and Phil Perry, right?
Yeah.
Get that footage. Out there on the
well,
field.
She was on the phone. She's not watching TV. So.
Well, she's, you know. John in Rhode Island.
Good call.
John.
Oh, hey. Hi, you guys. How you doing?
Really?
You hear me?
Yeah.
Like a
four. Oh, good. Perfect. Hey, listen, this whole quarterback thing, man. I mean, I've had different fields on it. As far as, like, trading for Garoppolo, maybe with someone else. But anyways, my latest take, I mean, I'm thinking – how about, like, for a gap quarterback, Alex Smith? We grab Alex Smith, you know, maybe a 2-year deal.
2 years.
Bring him in. You know, I mean, he's got he can win. He's a winner as it is. And then he'd be a great tutor for a young guy, maybe a Mac Jones or something, if they can grab him with the 15th pick.
If he's cheap, they'll do it. If he doesn't cost a lot, they'll do it.
I give him a lot of credit coming back what he came back from. I really do. It's amazing he's even still playing football. But if I was him, I'd be like, okay, I did it. I came back. I played. I'm done.
But if the plan is to have Alex Smith as your quarterback next year, is anyone feeling great about that?
No.
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 No. Or if it's Ryan Fitzpatrick, feeling great about that?
Well, I'll feel great, but that's just my new default feeling.
But, I mean, unless you're putting people around him. Like, Smith, I think, is like a 9-6 type guy. Like, that's his average as far as wins. He wins. He wins games.
My honest feeling is that if they don't land Garoppolo, that everybody else is pretty much going to produce the same result.
Mm. I agree, and I think that might be why this Cam thing may be in effect.
Yes, that's exactly why I felt that way all along.
If we fail on getting Jimmy, we're going with what we know, what we have, and we're just going to add to that room.
Put it back.
I would say put it back, too.
Because I think they're going to look at it and say, we look at this group of 5-6 quarterbacks, and we think they're all in the same category. They're all washed up. They've all got flaws. And we know Cam is a good guy to coach. He kisses Bill's rings. He likes him. They get along, and that's why he could easily end up back here. That's why the draft will be important, and I hope that if they don't land what they want in Garoppolo, they go and draft a guy. Not that you have to start him right away, but that right. you got something to look forward to beyond 2021. Ben in Weymouth for Zoe on Disney. Ben.
Hey, what's up, boys? Just wanted to weigh on this Disney songs here.
Yes,
so,
sure.
You know, we got Hakuna Matata, the Lion King classic there. Now, less known favorite, we got Everybody Wants to Be a Cat from the Aristocrats, Be Our Guest, Beauty and Beast.
That's a good guest. One. That's right, the candlestick.
You hung up. Oh, wow, he's fast talkery. I think he was at work.
Oh. Be Your Guest, Be Your Guest. What was the Jiminy Cricket one, too?
I don't know.
Hi there, I'm Jiminy Cricket.
Pocahontas, Colors of the Wind, Vanessa Williams. You would recognize that one.
I would.
Yep. It's a lot of things. All kinds of Disney songs. Teams that want Cam Newton, not as plentiful. Nick in Plymouth. Hi, Nick.
George. Hey, guys. George. I was just listening to what Zoe was talking about with all the different teams that he'd been watching last year for college. What if they wait for 15 and just see if Kyle Pitts drops to him? Would you take a tight end that high and somebody that's a beast and somebody that's, you know, ranked as the top tight end and there's no real gap to the second?
Kyle Pitts.
I'd take Pitts if he's sitting there at 15 in a second. Yes. I think he'll be gone. That's why I feel they're going defense there. I would take his quarterback, Kyle Trask, in a second.
Adam is in Lowell. Hi, Adam.
Hey, guys. I'm a little worried about Bill. With COVID restrictions, the NFL is going to start easing him back. Who's he going to blame when it all comes falling apart again? I mean, it can't be the coaching staff because that's all his friends and children. Let's see. It can't be free agency because he's not going to pay anybody and nobody wants to come here anyway. And unlike other teams that, you know, have success in the draft, you know, our rookies, half of them don't even play their rookie year for some reason. I'm sure Bill has a great reason for that. But who's he going to blame? Is he just going to have to go on a podcast with Charlie Weiss again and complain about how we don't understand football and how great he is?
Right, you can't do the reset thing this year. Can't blame the reset. Can't blame COVID. Can't blame Tom Brady leaving you in the offseason. Can't blame any of those things.
No. It's an extremely high-pressure year for Bill. No doubt about it.
Can't say
a lot
that
of people want to see how he's going to punch back.
Matt and Quincy. Hi, Matt.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey.
What's up, so how you doing? So I got a call here. I think the guy is a dork, Chris Sims, and I don't like his dad. But he's been pretty on the money in terms of his quarterback success. In his pre-draft rankings of college quarterbacks, you know, he's had Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Baker in that order in 2018. And then he had Burrow, Herbert, Love, and Tua this year. And now he has Zach Wilson at one, which is a shock. Trevor Lawrence at two, Mac Jones.
I don't know how shocking that is. A lot of people are starting to do that.
Yeah, that's just my input. Also, Randy Newman, I love L.A. That's a track.
That's not.
Any other favorite songs you want? Call in 617-779-0985. Any good tracks?
Short People.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
I think that was from the Disney Smurfs movie.
Little Feet.
Short. Blue Gnomes.
What was the Smurf song? La, 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 la.
Sing a happy song.
617-779-0985. Smurf. Name songs you like. Name the good ones.
Yeah, name any good songs you like.
Steven in New Hampshire. Steven.
Oh, good songs.
Who's your favorite Smurf?
How's it going, fellas?
Hey, great.
So you guys mentioned the Phil Collins, the Tarzan song. Collins is easily the greatest singer-songwriter of all time. I will fight anybody on that. But he also did the music for another Disney movie called Brother Bear. I don't know if you guys remember that one.
I remember Brother Bear.
I have no recollection.
Well, he's got two jams on that one, the Welcome and On My Way, two monster hits, just as big as You'll Be in My Heart.
So you're a big Phil Collins guy.
Oh, my first concert, I'm 22 years old. My first concert was Genesis, greatest band of all time. Phil's easily the greatest singer-songwriter, close second, Peter Gabriel. It's just the most incredible music I've ever heard. I can just go track for track on those albums all day long.
You don't ever get lost in some of those lengthier Genesis tracks?
No, those are the best ones, man. Especially going back in the Gabriel era, man, when those 15-minute songs hit, those are great.
No, they're not.
So Peter Gabriel was in Genesis?
Yeah.
Yes, he was the original lead singer.
Jesus.
Very arty.
Love a good 15-minute song.
While Peter Gabriel's dressed up like a tree rolling around on the stage, growing. It's a metaphor for an acorn.
What are those songs he mentioned, though? Do you know or recognize any of those?
Looks like a newer movie.
I don't know. Greatest singer-songwriter of all time, Phil Collins.
Yeah, I like Phil Collins.
I like Phil Collins a lot.
Yeah, that's a reach. Genesis, greatest band of all time.
Yeah. I like Paper Late. Paper Late doesn't get enough play. Can we bump back with Paper Late, please, T-Bone?
It's a bit of a reach there.
T-Bone,
wake up.
I want you to say yes. Thank you.
Yeah, okay,
all right,
okay.
Let's take a break.
All right, let's do that. Yep. 617-779-0985. We'll talk to Brad Stevens coming up at 12:50 today. Get some other things we got to get to. You see this? Nick Francona, Terry Francona story?
Yes.
Bizarre, right? I think it's worth mentioning. Why don't we do that coming up and continue with your calls and all this stuff next.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
It drives you crazy.
Zolak and Bertrand get into it.
Everybody's in on it.
In the middle of the day.
And I feel like I've been ranting about this for 10 years.
And now, get Zolak and Bertrand on the radio.com app.
Love Paper Late?
Yeah, this isn't Paper Late,
right?
What's I wasn't gonna do that.
You were not. You're not gonna play the one song they asked for.
No,
you
the only thing you request you do 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, and I did you not hear me ask for confirmation, Beetle?
I heard it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did too.
Guess you didn't want to do that.
It's not like you had, like, it was 90, you know, you had to get the Hub headlines in and cram a 90 in.
No, there's been zero excuse for it. Maybe so, just wanted to play the greatest singer-songwriter of all time. I don't know.
Greatest of all time.
But is, I mean, it
it's
is
the oddest song he's ever made, really.
Phil Collins, he probably wrote Paper Late too. So, I mean, that would have, you still could have fulfilled that desire.
Jim would have played it.
What's it called? Paperweight?
Paper Late. Paper Late. It's a Genesis song.
So past your time. So we'll just pick one of the worst Phil Collins songs ever.
Right.
And just let that play in a loop in the background.
Okay. Well, enough of that. To the
kill segment, T-Bone.
The story of Terry Francona and his son, Nick Francona. There's a detailed report from The Athletic today, or within the last couple of days, that outlines how the Indians knew about sexual harassment allegations against Mickey Callaway. Now, Mickey Callaway, as you know, has now been accused by a number of people of sexual harassment and is dealing with the fallout of that currently. However, that's not why I'm interested in this story. The Callaway thing, you know, we talked about Mets ties, all of that.
Yeah.
Here's where it's a little interesting. And that is Nick Francona, son of Terry Francona, posted a statement on Twitter. So Terry Francona was questioned on Tuesday and told reporters it's not the right time to respond. Though he did say no one's ever covered up for anybody, because he's now being accused of covering up sexual harassment by Mickey Callaway, that he was aware of it and didn't do anything about it when he was the pitching staff on the he was the pitching coach in Cleveland. Nick Francona said he confronted his dad Tuesday morning, and it's clear that he simply doesn't get it. He posted, "I am hesitant to get into the personal details of my family situation, but my father and I do not have a particularly close relationship, largely as a result of disagreements about his conduct, some of which has been reported over the years and some of which has not." Nick Francona worked for the Angels as a Major League Player Information Coordinator in 2013 and 2014 before joining the Dodgers as an Assistant Director of Player Development. He basically said, my dad covered it up, and he's guilty of that, and I have a poor relationship with my dad.
And my dad's on other things?
Yes, poor conduct, as he says, that he has a bad relationship with his father over his conduct, and some of which has been reported and some of which has not. Yes, he also in all of this accuses Terry Francona, his own father, of lying to him about his level of knowledge of Callaway's behavior, and said that Francona, his dad, is a part of covering up the bad behavior in baseball. How about that?
Ugh.
He wrote, to read the full statement, "I was disappointed to read the reporting in The Athletic. I cannot say I'm surprised. When the news of Callaway's behavior first came out earlier this year, I confronted my father, Chris Antonetti, and others within the Cleveland Indians organization. I wanted to know why they didn't say anything to me when the Mets hired Mickey Callaway and gave him a strong endorsement. My father lied to me and said he didn't know. Additionally, I think he and his colleagues failed to understand what is acceptable behavior and what isn't."
Oh.
His own kid is beating the bag out of him publicly. Terry Francona's son, Nick.
Would he cut him off?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's part of it.
Something bad happened between these two, right?
Yes.
And I've got friends that, you know, lose touch with a parent or two because, you know, they'll see eye to eye, or, you know, just time passes. But it's like he's trying to slime him here.
He's trying to bury his own dad.
Yeah. A very popular dad that a lot of people like.
The last time Nick Francona
had very high views of
was in the news was when he started talking about, well, he started maybe not talking about, but circulating the stories that were written about Alex Verdugo when he was traded to the Red Sox.
Right.
That was the last time we heard from Nick Francona in any meaningful way that was getting attention. But this one, you just, well, what?
I mean, if he's doing this to his own dad, I hope he doesn't have any more on Verdugo. Yeah.
Right? Or hope the Red Sox don't piss him off at some point.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he just absolutely buried his old man.
What was part of that story?
That's got to hurt.
It was videoed on phone?
The the allegations in that organization were that the girl was assaulted and a player videotaped the assault. And that player may have been, no one has directly said it is, but given the number of players there and the player who was alleged to have committed the assault was not the one taping it, that will lead you to believe that maybe it was Alex Verdugo. Yes, that's what was going on there. So, Jeff in Nashua has something for us today. Hi, Jeff.
What is going on, boys? It's been a while. Well, one of the last times I called several months ago, you might remember, was on the Stills and Dills Day with the Moonshine and Pickles podcast.
Yes.
But I had talked about that time. You know, I think the magic carpet ride is changing forever. It's probably over. And it would start, well, we remember back then that same day, I think it was Zosi throwing Zoe under the bus, calling him Dave Lapham or comparing him to Dave Lapham. And then no talent at the skilled position, the QB bridges. And now the geniuses are calling, and it's unbelievable. It sounds like a two tight end set with Cam and N'Keal Harry and Julian Edelman at quarterback is being considered. And it's like after 2020, in Bill We Doubt has taken over, and more than half the callers have concluded that it's all Bill and Brady, it's all Brady, and that Belichick, he just might as well have been Doug Marrone the whole time. It's unbelievable after 1 year. I hope Bill gets an opportunity to rebuild it legitimately, but the polar opposites of what happens around
the team has fallen flat on their face here in the last year is what has happened. Yes, which leads us to sit here and say, yeah, Hunter Henry, Kyle Rudolph, and everybody else, Cam Newton, N'Keal Harry, Julian Edelman. Yes, I get it. We might be feeling differently about this in a month. Bailey is in Plymouth. Bailey.
Gentlemen, how we doing?
Hi, Bailey.
It's a beautiful day to be alive, you know? It's nice.
Sure is.
All right, so I had a little theory this morning that I kind of put together, and because I read earlier that Patrick Peterson is set to be parting ways with the Cardinals, which is interesting.
Wow, they're going to win the championship.
Well, then that's exactly what I'm saying. I think he sees that the Cardinals are not a championship team and that Cliff Kingsbury is an idiot. I mean, looking at last season and Kingsbury's just like mess ups, they're just brutal. They're so blatant. And I think Patrick Peterson's having it. And I think that's why they also brought in J.J. Watt, because that's where the cap space is going to come from, by releasing Patrick, possibly. And I think even, you know, two things. One, maybe you can get him on a semi-decent deal, maybe cheaper than what you're paying Stephon Gilmore, since he might be in the market for a team that is looking to win. And also, it just makes me think that the Cardinals could be a trade target for Stephon Gilmore if they want to replace him. Because clearly they look like they're opening up the market and just saying, let's go. Let's get it going. We're a championship team, you know?
Okay, but none of that adds up, because if that were true and they were going to create cap space, they'd just bring back Peterson, no. Which Ian Rappaport reported yesterday they're going to try and do. But is corner a need for the Patriots right now? How down the list is corner?
5, 6.
Down the list.
Yeah.
Way down the list. Not concerned with it at the moment.
But right. Again, for a very important position, good to have not have concerns about that. Be positive, Beetle.
If you can get Gilmore to play on his contract, there's no way that Peterson would be cheaper. None. Maybe he's factoring in a pay raise. Maybe. Peter Griffin on the line. Peter?
Yeah, I got a classic Disney song for you, and I'll fight anyone who says otherwise. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming.
Finding Dory.
Thank you, Zoe.
Finding Nemo.
And I'll fight anyone who says otherwise, following the Phil Collins caller who said he would fight anyone who disagrees. that Phil Collins is the greatest singer-songwriter of all time.
There's some good singer-songwriters, and I mean, to, you know, put up against him.
Well, he's the greatest.
Yeah, well.
Kevin and Peabody. Kevin, go ahead. Kevin! All right, call us back. Christian is in the Everglades. Is that where you are?
It's Christian.
Hey, where are you?
Hey, how you doing? Great. How you doing, guys?
Where you at? Where are you?
I'm all the way down here in Broward County. I work out in the Everglades spraying aquatic weeds.
Oh, you see, you got any big snakes out there?
Big snakes, alligators, yeah, Florida panthers, deer. Yeah, we have it all.
Oh, that's badass.
Wow.
It really is. It really, really is. Okay, guys, so the question is, are we, or I should say not we, are the Patriots any better with Alex Smith, Mariota? Are they three games better than not than bringing Cam Newton back?
No.
For less money?
No. The answer is no.
No, they're not better. So what are we talking about?
We're talking
why,
about
why do we keep why do people like Paulie call in and they bring up these absurd facts that have no factual at all, they're not factual at all. We need a quarterback first, that's one. Okay? So my opinion is you go out and get Trask. He is just like Brady. Stepped in September of 2019 for Franks when he went down with the gruesome ankle injury and never looked back.
Okay. Let's not compare anybody to Tom Brady. Let's stop doing that. Everybody, stop doing that. Kyle Trask is not Tom Brady. Mac Jones is not Tom Brady. Stop it. Now, where were we? Is there a three-game difference between Cam Newton and Alex Smith? No. Now, if I were running the team, I'm going to try something different because I'm going to hope there's a one- or two-game difference. I'm going to hope. I'm going to do everything in my power to help there be a one- or two-game difference. But I think the Patriots and a lot of teams would look at this and say, we're going to shoot for a couple of guys that we would like to get here that are not currently available on the market. And if we can't, we just go back to this group of Jags and we pick one. And Cam's cheap, and we know he will be a good worker and, you know, do everything we ask of him, and he's going to be a great locker room guy. Boom, done. I think that could happen. Three-game difference between Alex Smith and Cam Newton? No. They're not three games better. Automatically, no. Dalton's in New Hampshire. Hi, Dalton.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey. What's up, Dalton?
Hey, so I'm at that stage of grief where I've just accepted that we're going to keep Cam Newton, right? The question is, are we going to pay him anymore?
Yes.
And if so, how much?
Yes, it will be more than what he made last year. It has to be.
Yeah, but like how much? Is he still cost effective?
$5 million. Well, $5 million.
I'd floated out a 2-year, $25 million per idea at the beginning of last season after a win over the Dolphins. It's gone down from that.
We had stopped bringing that up. And you brought it back up. You brought this on your own. You brought this on yourself.
Well, again, positivity, it's less than that now.
We had stopped.
This is depressing.
Hardy has headlines. We'll be talking to Brad Stevens, head coach of the Boston Celtics. He'll join us in about 15 minutes.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
Bob and Easton, Bob.
In the middle of the day.
You know why I love this show?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Because I have ADD. 38 seconds from talking about Greer and Shanahan to Zolak TikTok.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brad Stevens coming up in about 8 minutes. 617-779-0985. Alex in Medford, your thoughts today. What do you got for us?
All right, awesome. Hey, guys, love the show. Have a thought on this one and curious to hear yours. But what about Jordan Love? All right, he's sitting behind Aaron Rodgers. 36 is the new 32 at that position. I think Rodgers is bluffing. He's not going anywhere.
Nope.
The Packers are going to end up having to cut him or get rid of him, you know, when that deal's up, that rookie deal's up. So, I mean, what do you think?
He didn't even dress out this year.
I think it's too soon. I don't think they're going to move on from him.
No.
That's what I think. I don't think he's a legitimate option. I think if you called it,
I heard more about that guy coming out of that draft than I have most of the guys coming out this draft. They're not going to move on from him this quickly.
Not yet.
Nope.
Maybe eventually. Maybe an offseason from now, maybe. But I don't think they're going to give up on him right now. No way. That I don't think they trust Aaron Rodgers. Does that make sense? They don't trust him to keep doing this.
Would you?
They don't trust him to play at this level, or they don't trust him to keep playing, period.
Remember about week 10? I think it was around week 10, week 11. He gave some, like, weird press conference or answered a question. It was almost like an ode to the Packers, a goodbye. Like it was a retirement press conference. It was something weird. Like, that dude, I wouldn't trust him. I would not trust him with a 10-foot pole.
Well, wasn't that long ago when we were thinking about, you know what, maybe the Packers are done with him, and they put an end to that conversation pretty quickly, saying, like, guys, MVP, of course we wouldn't be. But it wasn't unthinkable. It wasn't unthinkable that the Packers have decided, okay, this is
the last playoff game he won. You know, that's the thing. They got to look at it like that, too.
He's really, really good, but, you know, maybe this just won't end up working. And if that's the case, do they have their next guy ready to go?
If they keep Jordan Love around, they do.
Right.
Which is why I think they're going to do it.
I think they're going to do it, too.
I think you just described it already.
Yes.
Here's something for you. Joe Douglas, GM of the Jets, has basically put the for sale sign out front, saying in a press conference just moments ago, he will answer the calls if teams start dialing him up about trading for Sam Darnold.
Call him. Let's go, Shanahan. Call him. Come on, Shanahan was tied
to Sam Darnold is,
I mean, like, my God, one of our promos available that we have coming back from break had, yeah, I got ADD, and it's like one second you're listening to Breer talk about Shanahan, and then Zoe's TikTok video. Like, people know that Breer talks to Shanahan, and they're trying to say Shanahan is all buttoned up, doesn't talk to anybody.
Diana Russini also had this tweet today that she texted with an NFL head coach about upcoming cuts and what he expects. Here's the quote from the NFL head coach anonymously to Diana Russini. It's going to be a massacre next week around the league.
Oh, bloodbath.
I think he's right. I think there are going to be a lot of guys cut. We've already started to see it.
Yeah.
It has already begun. So I would think there will be more of that coming. Let's get to the head coach of the Boston Celtics, Brad Stevens, winner of three straight. He'll join us on the other side.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Scott Zolak,
listen to this,
has the best analysis. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand here at 12:51. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics, winners of three straight. Brad Stevens is with us now. Hi, Brad.
What's up, guys?
What's going on, coach? You got to be feeling better about your team, like Beatles said, ripping off three straight. But what do you like most that they may have countered with. And obviously it looks like Kemba's getting back to Kemba's form, but could it be that, the defense that the team's playing? What do you like most out of this three-game stretch?
Well, I thought in a lot of ways, you know, when we played Atlanta at home a couple weeks ago, that was the first time that I felt like, man, that looks like something we can build off of. And then not the first time, but it was certainly just kind of a reminder of what we could potentially be. We played really well at New Orleans for the first part of that game and then let that lead go. Played well in Dallas, but got beat by a great player at the end of the game. Didn't play as well in Atlanta, obviously. That was a tough one on the second night of a back-to-back, and we looked like it. And so I'd say the number one thing was, I think there was more there's more belief inside of our room and more commitment to each other. And just knowing that we all needed to stay together because we weren't far from turning the corner against good teams. That doesn't mean you're necessarily going to win all of these games, but you put yourself in a position to win them. And so, you know, I thought that the way the guys have stayed together and just kind of, to be honest, ignored all the noise and realize that, you know, with this schedule, with how dense it's been, with how much we traveled early on, with some of our injuries and some of the people that were missing games, there were going to be ups and downs. That doesn't mean that you don't, you know, rehash every down and you don't wish that you could have done one or two things different to maybe give yourselves a better chance to win. Or in the case of that second Atlanta game, like 80 things different to give yourself a chance to win. But I think like we just stayed together and we're not perfect now. It's not like we won any of these games going away. And it's not like we played a full 48, but we've gotten more contributions from more people, which I think is really important. Like we just can't go in the direction we want to go with, you know, without that.
Robert Williams has contributed in these games, and a lot of people are very happy about that. 22 minutes in two out of his last three games. Is that a ramping up of his minutes that will continue?
Well, we're monitoring and managing that all the way through the year. I mean, I think the most important thing is that he gets in a full year and he gets in and feels great, and we can ramp it up even more at the very end if need be. You know, he's a guy that continues to improve. He continues to have a good feel for, you know, what we're trying to accomplish on both ends. I think that his ability to now guard different positions at the end of the game so that we can mix up our coverages has been huge. You know, it's something that, you know, guys have to learn, and it's just part of learning that end of the floor. And then offensively, I think he's really figured out, you know, how to balance his, you know, great, great passing ability with risk taking. And then on the other, and then he's unreal, obviously, if he gets above the rim, and the ball's anywhere in that vicinity. So I think he's done a lot of good things. He's figuring out how to be the best that he can be. But I said last night, I think the best way to phrase it, he's on a great trajectory. Like he's where, you know, he's a guy that we think could help, you know, define the upside of our group in the long run.
That's what I said earlier, Brad, when, you know, you're talking about the things that you really enjoy watching about this team right now. Robert Williams is definitely one of them. Is he, you know, you talk about his ascension and his development. Is he about where you thought or hoped he would be, or has he exceeded that maybe a little bit?
I mean, I don't like to put expectations on where guys will be. I mean, his physical gifts are obvious. Right. What I love about Robert is, you know, I think I've said this to you guys before, like he got all the crap for being late to the first summer league interview, and then he missed the flight to the first practice. And so like everybody just made these assumptions about him being a guy that wasn't conscientious, and that was not true. You know, he may have needed to work on, you know, typing in the alarm clock into his phone, but he's a conscientious guy. And he's a guy that cares about his team. And so I think that one of the things that I've really enjoyed about him, he's always been a good competitor. He's always been about the team first. When he doesn't play, he doesn't ever complain. He's always been great on the bench. I think he learned a lot from the guys his first year. and then was really ready to take a huge jump last year and then sat for 50 games. I mean, if you think about, like, one of his last games of the season last year was at San Antonio, and he was unbelievable. But then the hip thing happened, and so he's out for 50 games. I mean, he basically, who knows when he would have been back, if he would have been back, if the season would have continued and not had a restart. So the restart gave him a chance to, you know, finish out that season. And I thought towards the end of the seeding games before the playoffs, he was really good. The playoffs presented some challenging matchups for him, but in Toronto series specifically, I thought he was really good. And, you know, you're just trying to continue to build. But I have always believed in his, like, his will, his care. And obviously he's got some pretty special physical attributes.
Coach, I know you got Toronto coming up, but eventually, you know, that All-Star game is going to come up, and you got two of your best stars playing it, Jalen and Jason. How hard is it as an organization and as the coach to talk to players dealing with issues? And I know Jalen even said, hey, it's been a long time since I felt healthy. Jason has talked about, you know, coming out of the COVID, there's times where you feel like you have it, you don't always have it. This game's so important to guys that play in the league. And we've talked to you in years past with other players that have been nicked up or injured around this time. Is that a delicate balance when you talk to these guys as to maybe you should or shouldn't play in this game, or do you just stay out of it?
I mean, that's a conversation they need to have with our training staff, and our training staff and them need to come up with a plan. I mean, I think the biggest thing is that, you know, like, Jalen's knee flared up the other day, and if it flares up again prior to Sunday, then certainly it wouldn't be it wouldn't be good to test it or to go on it. But I do think that he's got it, just a tendonitis that a lot of guys deal with that, you know, will flare up from time to time, but can be managed with appropriate rest and appropriate time off. I don't think, like, playing 20 minutes in an All-Star game in the middle of a week is going to be a big deal at all for a guy like him. And I don't think it would be a big deal at all for a guy like Tatum. And I just think they have to be, but if they have any issues at all, they just have to be upfront with our training staff, and our training staff just has to be real, you know, just communicate with them what we think is best and what we think is appropriate. I don't even get into it. The one thing that I'll do if the training staff wants me to do it, if they think it's right, is I'll probably then just call. I'll get with Jalen or Jason and then say, okay, if they say, hey, limit it to 20 minutes or limit it to 22 minutes or whatever it is, then I'll just call Quinn and Doc and ask them to do that. Now, when I coached the All-Star game, I know this, I was loving it that people were asking me to limit minutes, because it's hard as hell to find minutes for all 12 guys. Right. And so, you know, like, you know, it was an interesting one, to really consider. So, but we'll talk to them about that. We'll talk to our training staff and sports science group about that. And, I don't think we have any of the, you know, the big concerns, with these guys.
We are now,
certainly we need them healthy for the second half.
Sorry, Coach, didn't mean to cut you off there. We're now 3 weeks away from the trade deadline, and you've told us in years past at this time that you're not making phone calls and trying to do trades, but you are kept in the loop by Danny. If you had a wish list for your team, pieces you could add positionally, where would they be for your team going forward for the rest of the year?
Yeah, I mean, I'll share that with Danny. You know, I think that would be probably be inappropriate to talk about publicly or to you, or, you know, we have a team to coach, and, you know, we have a lot of guys that we need to play at a really good level. And so, you know, I'm pleased with the recent developments of our bench being more aggressive. You know, I think that we have a long way to go to be a team that is as good as we want it to be. But, you know, my job is to focus on the guys that are here. And when he presents those things to me, I take all that into consideration. But, you know, I don't talk about it publicly.
But it sounds like that is a part of your conversation with him, though, right?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we talk about basketball.
Well, I mean, I know this is groundbreaking news, but the GM and the coach talk about
but the roster is
teams
is,
and all that stuff.
As Danny said, the roster is his job, and he puts a lot of blame on himself for when the team's not playing well, as he said on this station a number of times. And so, I mean it directly in the sense that, you know, I think the need is this, and maybe there's been a disagreement at some point where Danny thinks the need is something else. And is there that back and forth in the room when you get to that point?
Listen, everybody's job is really hard, and you guys can figure out who to blame and all that stuff. We try to figure out how to make it, you know, find solutions. And so, like, my job in all of this is to help coach, you know, put in place a system of development that hopefully will benefit our young players and help them grow and get better, and also, you know, get guys that can, you know, complement each other well to play winning basketball. And sometimes that's going to be upfront with our training staff, and our training staff just has to be real, you know, just communicate with them what we think is best and what we think is appropriate. I don't even get into it. The one thing that I'll do if the training staff wants me to do it, if they think it's right, is I'll probably then just call. I'll get with Jalen or Jason and then say, okay, if they say, hey, limit it to 20 minutes or limit it to 22 minutes or whatever it is, then I'll just call Quinn and Doc and ask them to do that. Now, when I coached the All-Star game, I know this, I was loving it that people were asking me to limit minutes because it's hard as hell to find minutes for all 12 guys, right? And so, you know, like, you know, it was an interesting one to really consider. So, but we'll talk to them about that. We'll talk to our training staff and sports science group about that. And I don't think we have any of the, you know, the big concerns with these guys.
We are now,
certainly we need them healthy for the second half.
Sorry, Coach, didn't mean to cut you off there. We're now 3 weeks away from the trade deadline, and you've told us in years past at this time that you're not making phone calls and trying to do trades, but you are kept in the loop by Danny. If you had a wish list for your team, pieces you could add positionally, where would they be for your team going forward for the rest of the year?
Yeah, I mean, I'll share that with Danny. You know, I think that would be probably be inappropriate to talk about publicly or to you, or, you know, we have a team to coach, and, you know, we have a lot of guys that we need to play at a really good level. And so, you know, I'm pleased with the recent developments of our bench being more aggressive. You know, I think that we have a long way to go to be a team that is as good as we want it to be. But, you know, my job is to focus on the guys that are here. And when he presents those things to me, I take all that into consideration. But, you know, I don't talk about it publicly.
But it sounds like that is a part of your conversation with him, though, right?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you know, we talk about basketball. Well, I mean, I know this is groundbreaking news, but the GM and the coach talk about
but the roster is
teams and all that stuff.
As Danny said, the roster is his job, and he puts a lot of blame on himself for when the team's not playing well, as he said on this station a number of times. And so, I mean it directly in the sense that, you know, I think the need is this, and maybe there's been a disagreement at some point where Danny thinks the need is something else. And is there that back and forth in the room when you get to that point?
Listen, everybody's job is really hard, and you guys can figure out who to blame and all that stuff. We try to figure out how to make it, you know, find solutions. And so, like, my job in all of this is to help coach, you know, put in place a system of development that hopefully will benefit our young players and help them grow and get better. And also, you know, get guys that can, you know, complement each other well to play winning basketball. And sometimes that's going to take time. And sometimes, you know, you have a higher upside on your team, but you don't realize it early. And at the same time, sometimes then you have to look outside for that little boost that you can get from an addition midseason. But we talk about all that stuff. But the one thing that you'll never, you know, that we all, I think, are good at inside our walls is we're all going to be accountable for the role we play. And so
if we're 18 and 17, we're all 18 and 17. There's nobody that, you know, gets the finger pointed at them or anything else. We're just going to do all of our jobs better. And that's our task. That's my task. You know, if guys aren't playing well, then I've got to help them try to find ways to play better. You know, if they're not playing well, they need to get in the gym more and work a little bit more. I think a good example of that is Jeff Teague. Like, he had a tough few weeks, and doubt starts to creep in when you're an older guy that's, you know, transitioned to a bunch of different places after being in Atlanta for all those years. You know, in the last couple of years, he's been in, you know, three or four different teams, but what he did was he just got back in the gym and worked. And then all of a sudden he puts, you know, three, four good games together, and now he feels a lot better about himself. But that usually follows work. And so I think that's the responsibility of the organization, is we stay together. We're not going to we don't worry about who's not doing what or what hasn't been done. We're trying to all make this the best that it can be. If that means that we tweak the roster, we tweak the roster. But and if it doesn't, then I'll coach the team. And, you know, and I've got to be responsible for making this team as good as it can be.
Brad, I just don't want you to ever think there's anything that's inappropriate that you would be talking about. You can tell us anything. We can talk about it.
We're here for you.
If you ever get out of line, FCC or something, we'll let you know. But so
I swear every week.
Yeah, it's never gotten to that point.
No,
it's,
I'm not worried about that
It's all, no, anything you want to talk about, it's appropriate. It's fine.
What's the delay on this?
What do we get? 20 seconds?
20-ish?
Yeah, we got 20 seconds to play with.
God.
Yeah.
We were at a Super Bowl once with Ben Coates on.
We can say a lot of bad words, and they'll catch the
dump button. You can say a lot of players' names. You know, a lot of, you know, personnel wish list names. We can dump it.
When was the last time you had to, like, use that delay because somebody said something they shouldn't?
15 minutes ago.
Yesterday? I don't know.
Really?
Something that Zoe said probably today.
No, you did. Zoe had one slip up today. He didn't even realize it, and we had to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Zoe, you've been doing this a long time. I'm kind of surprised you slipped up.
Hey, it's about the energy, though, man. You know, you let a couple slip out of practice, I'm sure.
Yeah, never have. I'm just that guy that everybody talks about being even keel all the time.
That's right.
Never have.
All right, Coach. Thanks for the time.
Good luck against Toronto.
Well.
All right.
Thank you.
Brad Stevens with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
What is it he drinks? Dr. Pepper, right?
It's just us. It's just you and us. And nobody else.
What did I slip up on today?
You said something that sounded like a really bad word.
It wasn't, though. It was not you trying to say that word.
Right, right.
The way it came out, it sounded like you had said a bad word.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. That's all. No, don't worry about it. No big
I
deal.
Hear it now.
I told T-Bone he didn't need to drop it because there was no intent behind it.
Right.
So, okay.
That's what she said.
Right. Our thanks to Brad Stevens. Here are the headlines. We're right back. No commercials.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.